We have a little news this morning from the world of precious stones. The Wall Street Journal reports this morning that the Zales Corporation, the jewelry retailer, has let go three of its top executives. This move comes after a poor performance by the company over the holidays.
The chief financial officer, Matt Appel, isn't blaming the economy. He's quoted as saying, "It's clear somebody was selling jewelry this Christmas. It just wasn't us." The rival Signet Jewelers released figures yesterday showing it did far outshine Zales over the holidays.
Now, the word bling does not begin to describe the dazzle on display right now at San Francisco's Legion of Honor Museum. The exhibition is called Cartier in America, and it has precious pieces the French jeweler made over the years for this country's rich and famous. Here's NPR special correspondent Susan Stamberg.
Come, let's mix where Rockefellers walk with sticks or umbrellas in their mitts.
Putting on the wrist. During the Great Depression, Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers gave adoring moviegoers a look at the deluxe.
Dressed up like a million-dollar trooper. Trying hard to look like Gary Cooper. Super duper.
These dreary economic days, crowds are flocking to the Cartier show in San Francisco. In tough economic times, people need fantasy, even if they can't pronounce it.
Do you say brooch or brooch?
A brooch.
Potato, potato, tomato, tomato. Curator Martin Chapman is looking at a potato-sized pin that belonged to Marjorie Merriweather Post, the Post cereal heiress. You know, Postum, Grape Nuts, Post Toasties. At Hillwood, her estate in Washington, D.C., there's a portrait of her wearing this brooch, an 8-inch-long cascade of diamond and green glitter.
And some people said she must have had a shoulder strap made of iron to hold this up, because it's an enormous object made of 7 carved Indian emeralds.
A talented shopper, Marjorie Merriweather Post was one of dozens of privileged Americans with big bank accounts and royal tastes who carried out an age-old custom of power adornment.
There is an ancient tradition in Europe that, or the rulers, the princes of Europe, went into battle wearing all their best jewelry to act as a flag for their troops, but also as a way to buy themselves out of difficulties should they fall into enemy hands.
Cartier made its reputation in the 1890s, so ancient princes went elsewhere for their battle gear. But Gilded Age Americans, Vanderbilts, Morgans, Astors, Goulds, got lots of their gilding from the French jeweler. In a 1909 photo, Mrs. Cornelius Vanderbilt sports a tiara, necklace, bracelet.
But the real concentration is at the bosom, where she has a very large breast ornament, which is made of fringed diamonds ending in tassels, and in the middle is a very large diamond rose, which she bought from Cartier in 1904.
A few years earlier, for his coronation, Queen Victoria's luxury-loving son Edward had named Cartier his royal jeweler. Some of the tiaras fashioned for Edward VII's coronation are in the San Francisco show. Diamonds, platinum. Nice. In that same period, the jewelry Cartier made for Americans was often more elaborate, blingier, than what was made for British and European royals. As time went by, American tastes streamlined some. Al Jolson, Grace Kelly, her engagement ring seen here for the first time, Elizabeth Taylor, Barbara Streisand were all clients. So was an American divorcee who notoriously married into royalty.
Exquisite.
Absolutely. Absolutely fabulous.
In real life. Yeah. See many pictures of it, but never in real life.
Yes, it's unbelievable.
The museum goers are admiring a pin made for Wallis Simpson, the Duchess of Windsor. The Duke brought in a necklace and 4 gemstone bracelets and asked Cartier to take them all apart and reconfigure them.
There's an important sense of recycling at that point. And with those pieces, Cartier came up with this extraordinary fantasy object, a clip brooch, as it's called, in the form of a flamingo, with its plumage bristling with rubies and sapphires and emeralds. Not naturalistic colouring at all.
It's got to be 3 inches tall, and the body, the neck, and the beginning of the back, and the legs, the skinny little legs are diamonds, but as you say, the rest are not.
Yes, absolutely.
The pin was made in Paris in May 1940, a month before the German invasion. The Windsors fled France and took the Flamingo with them. The British branch of the jewelry store got involved politically during World War II.
Cartier London was the center of the Free French. They gave the upper floors to General de Gaulle. So Cartier was very patriotic during the war.
The Paris store remained open throughout the war and kept producing objects despite drastic shortages of luxury materials and money. They fashioned a golden cage which enclosed a tiny bird.
It was made out of a very small amount of gold with coral, lapis wings, and a diamond-set head.
The pin was a subversive message from Cartier in protest against the Nazi occupation. In 1947, the jeweler made another bird and cage.
But in this case, the golden cage, the doors are open, yes? And what you see is the bird emerging from it.
Yes, that's the idea, is the joy of France emerging from the occupation of the Nazis.
Bejeweled and costly stories of trials and triumphs, the exhibition Cartier and America is on view at the Legion of Honor Museum in San Francisco until the middle of April. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News.
You can get a look at our jewelry display for nothing at NPR.org. Elizabeth Taylor wearing a Cartier necklace and other spectacular photographs and images. It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Deborah Amos.